court documents say a man accused of shooting a Walmart manager in Anchorage allegedly had two guns on him and shot the manager after getting into an argument about a service dog. 45-year-old Daniel Pirtle allegedly told police that he shot Mason Mahi because of an argument over his unleashed dog. Pirtle is accused of shooting the manager and then trying to leave the store on his motorized scooter. Pirtle needs the scooter because his legs were removed as the result of diabetes. Roommate Susie Griffith says her longtime friend liked to travel with his dog and the guns wherever he went. She says he was showing signs of instability but seemed to be adjusting to his situation. The U.S. Attorney's Office has scheduled a news conference this morning to announce the distribution of IRS asset sharing checks. The money comes after a large Alaska marijuana distribution ring was broken about 2006. The ring, led by now-jailed Thomas Raines, made about $10 million while it was active. The money that's being distributed to Alaska groups comes from the forfeiture of property used by the drug ring. U.S. Attorney Karen Loeffler says that the state troopers, the Anchorage Police Department, and the Alaska National Guard will share about $2 million for their role in the investigation. Some Juneau police officers are speaking out against a bill in the state Senate that would reclassify certain drug crimes. Right now, it's a felony to possess small amounts of narcotics, such as heroin, oxycodone, cocaine, and methamphetamine, even if you do not intend to sell those drugs. Senate Bill 56 would make possession with no intent to sell a misdemeanor. It's sponsored by Eagle River Republican Senator Fred Dyson, who says the state is spending too much money to lock up nonviolent offenders.
60% of the population in our corrections institutions are nonviolent. We just built a $250 million prison, Goose Creek, and the corrections people tell me that if we keep incarcerating people at the rate we are now, we'll have to build another prison that size in 7 years.
Dyson's office estimates millions of dollars in annual cost savings for the Department of Corrections if the drug offenses are reclassified. But Juneau Police Lieutenant Chris Sell worries the change could send the wrong message to criminals. Sell is also a vice president of the Alaska Peace Officers Association, which opposes Senate Bill 56. She testified on behalf of the organization at a hearing yesterday before the Senate Finance Committee.
The sheer power of the addiction and the cost of the drug drives users to lots and lots of criminal activities. While we may talk today about this particular possession was nonviolent, there's been no reference to whether or not this is a nonviolent person. There's been no reference to whether or not they're committing other felonies like burglary or stealing your checkbook or your credit card.
JPD Drug Enforcement Officer Lee Phelps also testified that the drug crimes go hand in hand with violent offenses. Currently, it's a felony to have a firearm while in possession of any amount of narcotics. Phelps is worried that will change under Senate Bill 56.
I recently arrested someone that possessed two firearms and possessed heroin and cocaine and methamphetamine, where I charged him with four felonies, two Class B felonies for misconduct involving weapons, and then for possession of the controlled substances. If this bill were to pass, he would be charged with a Class A misdemeanor. I think that would be a gross injustice.
Other law enforcement officials from Anchorage testified in favor of the bill, as did the executive director of the state's advisory board on alcoholism and drug abuse. But Rick Sabandi, deputy attorney general for the Department of Law's criminal division, says it might have unforeseen consequences, including the cost of relitigating cases already prosecuted on our current drug charges. He also said it would endanger the state's therapeutic court program, which allows offenders to get jail time and fines reduced in exchange for a guilty plea and completion of a treatment program.
If you want to deal with this problem, and the problem is spending too much money on jail, then we need to have some mechanism that is not covered in this bill that deals with getting people into treatment. This bill, in many respects, may well be a disincentive to treatment.
Sabani says his comments were not intended to be the official position of the Department of Law on the legislation. He also did not know the financial impact of the bill. Senate Bill 56 was held in the Finance Committee for another hearing. Congressman Don Young passed two milestones this month. Saturday, he surpassed the late Senator Ted Stevens for the amount of years in federal elected office. And earlier this month, he marked his 40th year since being first elected in a special election back in 1973. In the November 1972 election, Young lost to incumbent Nick Begich, who had died in a plane crash. Begich's son Mark is now U.S. Senator. APRN's Washington correspondent Peter Granitz caught up with Representative Young yesterday, and they started by discussing what's changed in Washington during his four decades in federal office.
When I first came down here, and staffs were smaller. You only went home once a month. You only had 12 trips. You voted by teller vote or voice vote. You didn't have electronic voting. You had no television. And we were more of an amiable group because our families are here. So it was a better, I would say, more understanding groups of one another and better respect for one another than right now. And I really blame that on the instantaneous communication with the general public by the media outlets that are trying to make news all the time.
What's your greatest legislative accomplishment?
Representing the people of Alaska, and every little constituent that's ever asked me to do anything, I've got a good record doing that. I'd like to, you know, if I could say, if you want to look at the big pieces of legislation, the Trans-Alaskan Pipeline started in the House. The Magnuson-Stevens Act started in the House. The 91 Land Claims Act started in the House, not the 71, the 91 Land Claims Act started in the House. Those are major pieces of legislation. The CDQ program started in the House. Having said all that, I've passed more legislation than any other congressman in Congress now, signed into law.
You surpassed Senator Stevens earlier this month as the longest-serving Alaskan federal office. When he lost re-election in 2008, the state lost a lot of clout in Washington.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Has it gained any of it back?
Oh, I think it has. We had a great team going, Ted and I did. It very little failed. If he passed it, and he always gave me credit for it, I had to get it out of the House, and I was good in retaining it. If I passed something, he always said I couldn't always do what Don wanted to do in the Senate. But we worked together as a team very effectively. And I think we're doing that now. It just takes time. Ted had very nearly 40 years in, or he had 40 years in. It takes time to gain that seniority and that relationship with both sides of the aisle.
Is your power waning?
No. Did I have more power when I was chairman of the Transportation Committee? Yes. You know, does my power wane? There is nobody that doesn't know me in the House. But, you know, the chance of me being a chairman of a full committee is still probably as good as any freshman ever elected.
Republicans have historically been the party who say term limits. I think Newt Gingrich was a proponent of that after he probably would have surpassed his own term limits.
I never signed the contract. And,
right, I agree.
One of the reasons, because when you're a single member state like Alaska, term limits, you might as well stay home and go fishing. Then California and Florida and Texas and New York would run this country with term limits. It's nonsense.
But I'm curious about who's coming up. What do you want your successor to look like?
Well, I don't really care who my successor is, as long as he's got the feeling. My biggest concern is in the state of Alaska, this nation, is our nation became great because we had the opportunity under a mantle of freedom for entrepreneurship and a profit motive and betterment of one's life. And that's been taken away. It's being taken away every day. That's happening in Alaska. I remember when I first went up there, we were building roads. We were thinking about building dams. We had imagination beyond one's belief. There was nothing we couldn't do, including Bill Egan and Wally Hickel, two of the great leaders. We had the desire to achieve, and now we're living pretty good off of one resource. And you don't have anybody with imaginative minds about the vision and taking the gamble and the risk. Because it may not get reelected.
That's Congressman Don Young talking with APRN's Peter Granitz.